Hi, I'm Chick McGee, and we're off the air. Oh, this is Kitty Cat on a Keyboard. I like this one by Steve Schaffner.
No, Vinny. Huh? Vinny.
Oh, is this Vinny Testosterone? You're on. That's the first time
I'm going to turn you off if you're going to clean the thing. I turned you off.
You know, I knew this was going to be a different episode.
By different, you meant difficult?
Because we got in a fight beforehand.
We didn't get in a fight. There was no fight.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Jason?
I didn't see the beginning of the fight.
Okay, okay.
I didn't see what started it.
Okay.
I'm sure something.
Our guest was right there when it started.
Tommy is actually the instigator of the fight.
Tommy Jonigan is here with us.
Mm-hmm, he is.
You know, on a past podcast, we...
It was on accident.
On accident, but we tickled ourselves so much doing your speech pattern.
I was telling a story, and it just happened.
Just fell into it?
Yeah, I just fell into it.
So I don't know. Here's my point. I don't know if your material's that great, but your speech pattern's hilarious.
People say all the time, don't care for the words you say. Love the way in which you say them. I have a bit of a cold right now, so I may not be in my normal voice.
You sound all right.
With words.
No, so there might have been a dust up right before.
Did I miss the dust up?
A little. You said something about...
she hit the door.
No, you told me about the baby.
Diapers.com.
Diapers.com, and he seemed overly excited about it.
I thought you would find the website interesting, not that we were going to have a baby.
Guys are having a baby?
No, unless we ordered to China, and then evidently they put the stops on that.
You're getting a China baby.
Mm-hmm. No.
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 And I took it the wrong way.
So, yeah. So, obviously. I just said, why would you be so excited about that?
I did witness this.
No, you were in there. Did so you know that was that's what
why
pissed
got
him
upset?
Off?
No,
yes.
But she has this way of putting me in my place real quick.
No, he has this way of interpreting okay. people's words and turning them into, this person fucking hates me. And then that's it. And it's
I witnessed the same thing, mm-hmm. and I agreed with her.
So you hate me too? Is that it? Okay, that's fine.
I guess.
But you don't. You
because you looked at me and said,
"Snap." I'm making no judgment of what I saw, but I'm saying you can't judge based off of that because you don't know all the things that happened before it away from people or with people.
Oh, sure. There you go.
So there's premeditated. Yeah. In his mind, there's this thing of like there's something that went way before it.
I don't want to have any more babies.
Something like that, maybe.
That could have been it.
And he does.
That could be very much it. No,
no, that's exactly it.
Well,
you want more babies?
No. It's not that.
No, he wants more of my babies.
No, it's not that.
I mean, with me.
Can I explain?
I'm sorry. Were you trying to say something?
It's now I can't get it right in my brain. I have three children who I love very much. Mm-hmm. I was not ready to be a father. We've had this conversation.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I was not ready to be a dad. Did not appreciate the times that I could be a dad. Now I think I've reached somewhat of a level, despite this recent example of emotional maturity and appreciation, that I would love to have a kid with someone I care about or some girl who works at Hooters. Either way, I think I would be a great dad right now. That's my point.
When's the last time you shot a live seed?
Oh, well, no. They would have to go in.
Like 18 years
ago?
Yeah,
it's been a while, right?
No, almost 20. Yeah. But
Wait. Is there there's
he had
an
a
operation?
Vasectomy. Yeah.
I had a vasectomy.
I think I remember that.
But I've had...
You were there.
Yeah.
Can you turn...
It's because of me.
Can you turn Jess's headphones off?
Headphones off?
Yeah.
I can't turn her headphones off.
No, say yes, I can.
Oh, well, yeah, we'll do it.
Okay,
yeah
okay.
I'll
anyway.
Turn it down.
No, so I've had, like, I don't know, three meetings with people trying to ask if...
If you could reverse it?
If I could reverse the vasectomy. Bad news is the longer you go with it in a vasectomy, I don't know what that word would be.
Vasectomize?
The longer you go being under the influence of the vasectomy, the longer you're vasectomized or vasected,
the longer you're vasected,
the longer it takes to, when they reverse it,
the chances of it
the
going
chances
back
of it,
are almost
But no. There is a procedure that I could undergo where they would get some sort of comically large science fiction doctor needle to go in and get little chicks. And,
do you want me to get Jess pregnant?
Tommy?
Is that?
Because we generally, you're
I feel like we may be on the same page.
I'm a little taller. But our general features, we're both dark complected, dark,
I think we could do it.
Dark hair, dark eyes. I don't think.
Chick's almost Indian at this point.
Am I too?
You got a nice tan.
It faded from yesterday. But yesterday I saw you and I'm like, whoa.
Are you outside a lot?
No.
She tan a lot. Yeah, he goes to the tanning bed a lot.
Well, you look tan to me today.
It's bronzer.
Really tan. Did you bronze?
I just powder bronzer, not wipe on tan.
Okay, Tommy asked if Chick was outside a lot and no one heard that.
No, I heard
it. Is that why you laugh so hard?
Yeah.
You don't think I'm outside?
He's not a big,
outdoorsy
guy.
See, that irritates me because it's the truth. See what it hits me
so
with?
So you were pissy when I said, why in the hell would we need diapers.com?
Yeah.
Which maybe we should call them to sponsor the podcast now that we've done
this. You have to get pregnant.
Tommy has to get pregnant first.
And Tommy, maybe, that's where you come
this
in.
This is right. I'm just here for the sponsorship.
No, but my point, and then I started tanning for whatever reason. Because I think I look better with a tan.
Whatever.
No, Everyone looks better with a tan.
Can I tell you what happened? He moves out and he loses 60 pounds and starts tanning. Isn't that? Do you have a joke about that? Do you remember that?
Can you work in the reversing the vasectomy into that joke?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
All three of these.
Yeah.
But my point is, people who tan, you don't know how tan you are.
That's your point?
You lose. You lose perspective of how tan you're getting.
Yeah, like the lady who took her daughter to tan.
Yeah. I feel bad for that lady now because I looked at her and go, oh my God, but you don't see it. If you're in that body, you
to
don't see
it. To her credit, the daughter had a great tan.
See, but I go to the tanning booth every 10 days, maybe, for 15 minutes.
I think it's a fine tan. I don't think it looks too much at all.
It looks better now.
But you're always kind of dark complected, so it's just.
I don't know what race I am, but it's not Caucasian. I know that.
Yeah,
it's like Hindu or.
Yeah, I'd go with Hindu.
Some fucking thing.
Definitely.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we've gotten a point here. Have we reached a lull in the program?
We could start now.
Should we start the show now?
We could start the show now. Yeah,
I didn't know the moving out happened.
Yeah, we broke up.
Did I not? Who doesn't?
Well, we didn't really.
We didn't broadcast it.
Well, we brought this about 2 weeks ago on the podcast.
You're not going to call and tell someone that, I guess.
No. Like when you called and said you were having a baby, that was exciting. That was a reason to call. But Chick moving out was not a reason for us to call.
When did this all go down?
October.
Well, no.
Because I had a baby? I had a baby in September.
Kind of. The funniest thing about, we explained this to some other friends of ours, and I go, you know, because I'm going to remember October 20th, and the guy goes, oh, that's almost my birthday.
That's 7 days after my ex-fiance dumped me.
No kidding.
October 13th.
And see, you never forget it, do you?
Guys are like that with dates. I don't have that memory with dates at all.
We're fine. We're fine. We're hanging out.
Is that why I'm sitting in between you two?
Yeah. Legally.
So we're fine?
No, our rule is now it's private. No matter what happens, it's going to be private from here on out because we kind of opened the book. I thought a little too much when I think back on it.
Oh, when
on
we
the
were
podcast?
On no. the podcast.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
Oh. We did a podcast with Dr. Will. He's a therapist. And right. We talked about it and that's where we announced it. But, you know, episode 32, if you want to, so we don't have to dive into it again. 32 will bring you up to speed.
Mm-hmm. What? So I have to, so 32 hours?
No, episode number 32.
No, I want to listen to all of them. I need to catch up.
I know you want to listen to all of them.
So, okay. Okay, we don't want to talk about it, but I'm just finding
out. Well,
you can ask questions. No big deal.
See what I'm dealing with? It's no big deal.
It's not a big deal.
How many months? So it's been 5 months.
Yeah.
Almost 5 months.
Yeah. Yeah.
To my credit, mm-hmm. And I never thought I'd say this about me. It's getting so far back for me now that it's almost like it happened to somebody else.
Yeah.
Because we have kind of a totally, not totally, but a pretty different relationship than we did have.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Right now?
Different. Yeah, right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
How is the, when I've done a breakup, my mind was in the out of sight, we can't speak
sure.
for 6 months at minimum.
We went through that.
About 2 or 3 weeks, maybe.
We did podcasts around there, so you guys didn't do nothing.
Yeah, no, that's true. But
is the constant contact?
That's
the
only,
does it
that's
feel
the
like
only
it's,
time we saw
is it
each
torturing
other?
Either one of you to be in touch like this?
I'm okay. Does it bother you?
I don't know. Torture is kind of a strong word.
Let's take it down a little bit.
I mean, it
hurts a little.
I love seeing her, but yeah, it does hurt a little bit sometimes. Yeah, this is worse than the Dr. Will episode. what the fuck am I doing?
I'm better than that guy.
And I think you
should have had me on.
Yeah, we should have.
Oh, well, I'm sad.
No, don't be sad. We're fine.
I love you guys. Can we still hang out? I mean, we need to hang out more.
Well, you got to pick one.
We're trying to.
Now I feel bad that I haven't called. I had this baby. That's what I blame. I got a cold. If it weren't for this baby, we would have talked. I wouldn't have a cold right now.
We're trying to come over and watch you do live stand up here at some point.
That would be great. I'll be in live stand up. This doesn't apply to the listeners, but tonight and tomorrow in an area that's driving distance from you.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
Driving distance. I know it's driving distance because I drove it 5 o'clock this morning.
No, but obviously when something like this happens, you find out a lot about yourself.
Yeah.
You spend a lot more time with just you.
You lose the weight.
And you lose. Yeah, that would explain that.
The breakup weight.
And plus, I got to get back out there. I'm a hot commodity. You know what my pickup line is?
What's that?
I'm chick.
I like it. I think it could work for me.
But I'd like to think that I'm changing a little bit. I think I'm better than I was, as was exhibited with what happened earlier.
Mm-hmm. Changing for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, I've always told her she's like the Michael Jordan. She makes... be better.
Do you hit him in practice?
Come on, you son.
You have to stop hitting him in practice.
So it's a process. But the one thing I really have in trouble with is patience. That's because I'm not changing fast enough for me. But or whoever. So
no, it's good. It's because we said if we would have we agree on this. If we would have stayed together any longer, we would have broke up and hated each other.
And not said anything to each other.
It was kind of a sweet spot to go. We gotta separate, or we'll never talk again.
Well,
and we didn't want that.
Yeah,
for the podcast
and the diapers.com sponsorship. That's big dollars.
Here's what I've always thought about: if I had a podcast, I would just unofficially make Chipotle my sponsor, and at some point I feel like they would hear about it and then maybe decide to make me stop or give me free burrito bowls.
One of the two will happen.
Yeah,
well, I love a Chipotle.
We actually sort of just had a meeting with somebody that we're trying to do that with.
Sun King is the unofficial beer of our podcast. And they were gracious and hosted a tour for us yesterday.
And we had a tasting, and
it was great.
Ooh,
I had Foxy Jam Pants. That's one of their beers.
It's only sold in Indiana, though.
Yeah.
And so they make multiple types of beer.
Mm-hmm.
They have three that they make all the time, and then they have some seasonal and holiday type beer. Yeah, like they have Ring of Dingle. That's for St. Patrick's Day.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Why does nobody make a football seasonal beer?
I
wonder if they do, maybe.
I would just call it October. Football seasonal.
Yeah. October.
You're saying Oktoberfest. I'm saying football seasonal. Do you see the difference in marketability
yes.
here?
You call it first and 10 or...
Yeah.
Why are you off the mic eating this episode?
Football season.
Trying not to be so rude.
This week's episode, they are Cheetos.
Cheetos.
Jess eats something on each episode.
I don't eat something on each episode, but I had more complaints when I didn't eat.
Yeah, it's true.
Than I did when I do.
Uh-oh.
When you want a delicious snack, try Cheetos.
and a Wemac from Sun King Brewery.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, a nice Wemac.
You like dark beer?
Love dark beer.
No, they have
really
lots. They have lots of different kinds.
I
like a Hef or a wheat beer.
Oh, okay. Sure.
I bet you would like Osiris then.
Osiris
possibly
is a good beer.
That's a Sun King beer.
Mm-hmm.
I like these people.
They have a great pale ale. Yeah. I thought that was Osiris was their pale ale.
Was their pale? Yeah, maybe I got that wrong.
Can you order it and have it shipped?
Uh-uh.
That would make me a bar owner, I guess.
I can get you some beer.
I have WeMac. No, you don't like WeMac.
I haven't had booze in like 2.5 months.
On purpose?
On purpose. That would be the worst accident ever.
Well, you heard, did you hear that when the baby was born?
What happened when the baby was born?
When the baby was born, we had a scheduled C-section. Mm-hmm. I'll give you the more podcast,
sure.
less radio where it's trying to crank it out. I'll just give you the story.
Right.
We had scheduled a C-section because Heather's very planned. Mm-hmm. She wants everything planned. So when they gave us the due date, she asked about scheduling a C-section. And the doctor said, you can schedule them. She goes, the only people I know of that's ever scheduled a C-section are OBs and then you. Right. Like, she's literally the only person that's ever asked. So we scheduled it for Saturday, September 22nd, 8 a.m. Basically, so it's like Friday, we're going to go to bed and we're going to wake up with a baby.
Mm-hmm.
So Thursday night, I was like, let's get a hotel. Let's really live it up. Obviously, you can't because you're super pregnant, but it'd be rude if I didn't invite you. So we
but
went.
His point was, what I he should have said was, why don't you come with me? And
Yeah. So I started drinking a lot on Thursday, and I started drinking like 11 by the pool.
Uh-huh.
Keep in mind, it's a week. So it's over a week before the due date, and everyone says to us, the first baby comes late.
Mm-hmm. I would assume
really people
that, yeah.
say that. So for 7 months of the pregnancy, I thought, without a doubt in my mind, we were having this baby on September 22nd. It's uh-huh. part of my passwords on my email now.
Uh-huh.
So now I have to change that because it really is. So Thursday, I'm wasted by dinner.
Right.
And she went into labor.
No.
And the thing I said was, I'll never forget the feeling I had when she went into labor. I'll also never forget the feeling I had as she drove herself to the hospital while she was in labor.
Because? Because
I was drunk. I've seen way more commercials about don't drive drunk than don't drive while you're in labor.
Right.
So right. she was like huffing and puffing.
Wow.
Greg Warren called me while she was in labor, and I answered the phone because that's what you do when you're drunk.
Uh-huh.
Hey, buddy.
And I remember answering the phone, and Greg Warren, this is the best moment. No one will ever be able to create this exact scenario again. Because I pick up the phone and I go, Greg, she's in labor. I don't even know why I answered the phone right now. We're going to the hospital. And Greg just goes, hey, man, I got a couple bits I wanted to bounce off of you. If you got a second. It was the perfect thing for him to say. Oh,
okay.
Hospital.
Warren, he did that to me mm-hmm. the night the Redskins were playing the Cowboys, last yeah. game of the season. He calls me like 10 minutes into the game. Hey, you got some time? You want to? But I didn't answer the phone.
Yeah.
So this is the voicemail. I'm listening to it the first time out. And then he did it when the Redskins played the Seahawks. So he does that.
But mine was, but his was like, yours, the schedule came out months ago.
Yeah, that's true.
He had that call on his calendar.
Right.
Yeah, he was going to make that. He had that call scheduled, but yours yeah. was pure luck.
So we had that baby.
So how long did it take for the baby to get
She was
there?
In labor for like 6 hours. That's I was not, pretty really, sobered up.
Right.
Well, then they did a C-section.
Oh. I didn't know this they about the C-section. C-section. I didn't know that they...
Take your organs out of your body to get to the baby. I didn't know that.
The baby's behind like your kidneys and...
Yeah, I would not have known that either.
So they pull your organs out and put them on your chest.
And were you there to witness that?
I was on the other side of a...
The blue sheet.
A blue thing. They pull your organs out of your body. To get to the baby.
Man.
It's insane.
Did they run that by you before?
Yeah, I don't care. They're not mine.
Did she know that was going to happen?
Yeah, we knew. Oh, okay. She apparently knew already.
Oh.
The doctor told me, she was like, you know, we're going to take, well, and we're going to put them on her, we'll just like rest them on her chest. And she was like, make sure you don't look over. And I was like, yeah, no shit. You just told me her insides are going to be outside. Who's curious about that?
Doesn't it seem like there could be a better way to do that without moving your...
It seems like we're doing it wrong. You yeah. saw her in half like a shitty magician, and then you pull her organs out.
What?
Go in from the back is what I would think.
When I got
There's
my...
There's a spine kind of in the way.
When I had my...
Move the baby to the left or the right of the spine.
Come on.
When I bet your spine.
On my double bypass, they crack your chest and open you like a blooming onion at Outback.
Yeah.
Which is delicious, by the way, the Outback Steakhouse. Is that what we're going to do?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yes,
it's going to work.
No, so then it's going to work sooner or later. So then during the process, they have to put you on a heart-lung machine.
Mm-hmm.
So they stop you.
Stop your heart?
They stop your heart on purpose and you die. And then they hook you up to the machine and you start again. And then they put everything back in and do all the bypassing. I think that's the medical term for it, bypassing, that they have to do. And then they hook you back up, like the wires in the back of a speaker, and put everything back in. And then they take you off the heart-lung machine.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully they start you again.
Turn that off. Sorry.
Hopefully they start you again. So the guy tells me, and then they make you sign this, you read this book, and then you... Because there's all sorts of weird things that can happen after you've been on the heart-lung machine. Like you could lose memories or your vision could change or your smells and tastes or your wiener could get bigger. And
which was your case.
That was my case.
Where's this machine?
So the guy goes, yeah, we stopped your heart during the thing and it went okay. I said, what do you mean it went okay? He said, well, we took you off the heart-lung machine. I just reached in with my hand and gave your heart a push and it started beating right away.
Wow.
That's crazy.
That's insane.
It's crazy.
That's insane to think of what these people do.
It's just, that's like me saying I did a commercial today live on the radio. For them, it's the same thing. I reached in somebody's chest and pushed his heart and it started again. I'm in the wrong profession.
Tommy, when they decided to do a C-section...
It was pre-decided. My girlfriend picked it.
Okay, so even though she went into labor, it was still going to be a C-section.
They were like, "Do you want to do labor?
Okay,
because you're in labor." They're like, "You're in labor,
right?
You want to have this baby,
right?
Regularly,
yeah,
like God intended." And she said, "No, okay. I want this C-section."
Okay,
what are the benefits of a C-section?
Apparently, you don't leak pee when you're 50. Is one of the things our doctor actually told us. Your vagina will leak pee. Which I don't know if that's true, but the only
for a
benefit
little bit afterwards, I thought
the only benefit for
I'm leaking pee right now, and I've never had a baby.
The only benefit from her is not the only, but the main benefit from her was her sisters have 7 kids between them, and her mom had 4 kids, and they were all C-sections, and each of their first kids were emergency C-sections.
Oh wow!
Meaning, like, kid starts to go. Trouble a brew, bam, and they're all the same shape of woman. So, and then the doctor said there is, it's like a lot less risky for the mother and child to do a scheduled as opposed to an emergency. But the thing was, in an emergency, you don't know if you're going to have an emergency
C-section. Right.
So that's why most people don't
elect. She was like preemptive. Yeah, she was just preparing for the worst possible. Okay.
So she prepared for going into labor and then having a emergency C-section.
Right. Got it. Huh. Okay.
And then they just reach in there and tap your heart.
And it starts. I know. It's fucking wild.
I'm not comfortable with the amount of things that they can do.
Yeah. But then they choose to lay your stomach on your chest or whatever organ, your liver or your kidney.
I wonder if it is. What do they pull out, I wonder?
The kidneys are in the back. Don't think they're pulling
what
kidneys.
What do you got
here
in the front that you lay
intestines.
On your chest?
Intestines.
Probably the big thing.
There's like a mile of stomach. Intestines, right? Or something like that.
Where's your liver?
Where's your womb?
I think your liver
is way down. Your womb is down.
Down and like in the middle.
So what would be above it?
Giny area. Well, your womb is like, I thought it was like between your stomach and your back. Like, I didn't think it was just right in the front, you know? I mean, because if you think about where the hole is, it's kind of in the middle of your back and your right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we think about it, so I would assume that.
If they have to take your stomach out. No way, right?
Nah, your stomach. I think that's attached.
Your stomach is like tacked into your inside.
Oh,
with
dear.
A stapler
you're
or
doing
something.
This,
right?
Like,
yeah,
like a hammer.
Like a stapler. Yeah. Attached to stuff.
Mod Podge,
right?
I think, is what they use to keep it in there.
Is that like decoupage?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
A lot of zip ties.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. This is all. This episode is nothing like I thought it would be.
Aw.
We haven't talked about you and your.
Am I ruining it?
No. We just ruined it by getting up this morning, I think.
No, Chick has ridiculously high expectations, so.
That's not true at all.
Sometimes. No pressure, Tommy.
I feel like I'm having a bad podcast.
Do people know how young you are?
Some people.
Are you 30 yet?
Next week.
No.
Or two weeks or something.
Okay.
30.
Look forward to it.
So you started when you were like 18?
Yep.
Really? First time on stage 18?
Yeah. Started touring at like 20.
So 18, first time. I know you have, but I have to ask, have you ever bombed?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I've bombed.
Like recently or just when you were 18?
I mean, I've probably had bad shows recently, but like bomb. It's been a minute, but it's definitely happened. Like to the point of I'm uncomfortable. And some of it's been situational. You know, like one of the memorable bombs was, for me, was at a college show. And when I first get there to the campus, the woman comes up to me and she was like, just so you know, this is a very diverse campus, which apparently means four white people. Like, you need to check that definition of diverse because you ain't got it. Then she took me to this room, like a room. And then her husband stood at the door. It was very intimidating. But it wasn't intimidating in speech. It was just like, if I took a still photo of this, you wouldn't know what was going on. So this big black husband, just to be descriptive, and his large black wife, and they take me to the room, and he stands by the door, and she said, all right, just, you know, no, she goes, no black jokes, and no... No heavy sex material is what she said.
No black. What's a black
joke? Like a knock knock joke.
I don't even know.
Knock knock.
Black. Who's there?
No, it'd be black. Who this is?
Who this is? Give me your wallet.
Oh, stop. Well,
come on. What? No. No, I'm kidding. But
a
anyway.
white joke. Hey.
So I go like this.
Who's there?
Yeah. Give me your wallet. Still a white guy. White guy Robbie just the same.
White guy Robbie is just as quick.
And so I go. I'm like, all right, no black jokes, no heavy sex material. And then she goes and I'm backstage at this theater and the crowd is, there's probably 400 kids and there's four white kids and the rest of them are black students. And she turns to me and she goes, and I'm behind in the wings of this theater. And she goes, do you want them to turn their cell phones off? And I go, yeah, that'd be great. So she was like, all right. And then she goes out and she goes, listen up. The comedian is Tommy Jonigan and he wants you guys to turn your phones off because it's rude. Don't be on your phones. He wants them off. The comedian's Tommy Jonigan. Welcome, Tommy Jonigan. And then I come out.
Great opener.
It's like a kind of a clapping thing happening. And I was like, keep it going for whatever her name is. And I go, now I've been warned not to do any black jokes. This is the first thing I said. I go, she took me in the back and she said, do not do black jokes. I go, so I don't really know what that is. If you guys could do me a favor and just let me know when I get to black and so I don't go black. And I thought that was very funny. That's and they didn't great. Laugh at all.
Nobody?
Not one person.
Oh.
Then as
not
I'm
even
ready,
the four white kids?
No.
Okay. No.
They
no,
definitely didn't laugh.
Especially not laughing.
Traitors. So then I go to my next sentence and then she just walks onto the stage like right next to me and goes down the steps. So I was like, all right, I guess that's happening. Clop, and then I start another clop, sentence. Clop. And then another person walks back. And I'm like, what is going on? Who's back there? So I am probably 12 minutes into this show. I don't even say probably. I can remember looking at my watch at 12 minutes. And I go like this. I go, hey, guys, I'm supposed to do 50 minutes. I go, hey, because at 12 minutes, before the 12 minutes happen, I'm doing my material. It's getting nothing. I rip on this fat guy. Start making fun of this fat guy for other reasons and then also because he's a heavy guy and he was a good sport and they're laughing and then I go back in my material and it's nothing and they're just then they start kind of getting loud and chatty, so I stopped and I go, hey, listen, this is how the show's gonna go. I go, this is how, this is what the material this is. I go, this is how I talk. and this is how I look, and that's not going to change. I go like this. I go, we can rule out a great show. No great show has ever started like this. So great is gone. We can get to okay if you guys try and just pay attention and be nice. And then it started. It was like the Apollo. They just started yelling and people standing up, waving their arms. Oh. And then the house lights come up.
Oh.
And then this kid comes up to me, this young student comes up and he puts his hand on my shoulder and I still have the microphone and he goes, I think it's over, man. And they're just yelling. People are leaving and yelling. And he goes, I think it's over, man. And I go, what about my check? And then he looks at me and I was like, I go into the microphone. I was like, I'm going to need that check. And my contract says to do 50 minutes. And I'm going to do 50 minutes so you guys don't have any reason to not pay me tonight.
Because
this is work. Yeah. And then this one black chick goes, if he's staying, I'm staying. And then everyone left. Everyone but like 12 people. I kept all four white people. They stayed.
Okay.
All
right.
And then eight black kids. And then the students that worked there. And then we just kind of shot the bull. But, you know, about 300 people filed out.
Oh, my gosh.
Can you brutal. Say what college it was?
I don't even remember what college it was, or I would. I would. I tend to block things like that out of my mind. I remember I went to Walmart after and got food for my hotel and sat by myself eating the food.
But did the 12 kids kind of salvage your feelings about it?
No, not at all. One of them, they were very nice.
No happy ending.
You know what I did? I told the kids before they were, when we were sick, because we were having the camp, before they started to leave, I go, it's not your fault, before the crowd left. I go, it's not your fault. I do this for a living. Everyone has a different sense of humor. I go, this was a poor booking. This was a bad booking. I go, what happened? I go, this is honestly what happened. Your people went and booked comedians and musicians, and they thought, we need a white guy. We can't just have black guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they booked me, and it's not working out for us. I was like, it's not your fault. I go, the thing that's interesting for me is you hate me so much as a comedian. Like, you think I'm so unfunny that you don't even understand what's happening, that you don't even know I'm trying. You think I'm so bad.
Right.
And I go, and it would blow your mind if I told you what they were paying me.
Tommy.
So that was a nice bomb. That was a memorable one. Because I thought there was a point, I was like, part of me was going like, what do people do when they start yelling like this? Like, do they come at me?
Right.
Are they mad at me?
What's the next step?
Yeah, yeah, like, what goes next? Is it mutiny?
Did Warren tell you his bomb story? Sort of like that in Columbus?
Boo?
Yeah. Boo, motherfucker, boo!
Did you just boo me? I said boo, motherfucker.
Yeah, he's on stage and they start to boo and he goes, the last thing you should do if people are booing is ask if they're booing.
Yeah, they're definitely booing.
Yep, they're definitely booing. So then this somehow turned into your first Letterman appearance.
Yeah. The guy that booked Letterman was at that show.
That's how these go. Yeah.
And that's how Hollywood, show business, man. So there's more good ones than that. I think there's the constant struggle with stand-up. It's just like, you just kind of increase your batting average every year, but without, you know, like decreasing the quality or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of where you have, you know, 9 out of 10 shows that are really good.
We had an interesting discussion with Jimmy Pardo, and he totally, I think, I mean, mm-hmm. swayed my opinion. It's not the comedian's fault if you...
If there's a bad show, it's all on the audience. Do you agree with that?
I don't fully agree, because I've had times where I'm like, you know what, I could have done better. But then, you know, the confusing part is when you build something, I will say that the philosophy of never say it's the audience's fault is wrong. And maybe it's not their fault as so much as it is that everybody has a different sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's a weird thing that you know, you can do a show, pretty much the same act, four nights in a row in a city,
mm-hmm.
and then one of those shows just turns out to be awful. They're like, I don't know how you could put that on me.
Yeah,
like, I don't know how that could be my fault completely.
Well, Jimmy changed my opinion, because we always talk about this one comedian that we saw in a nearby city, and he came out and just from the start was, he just annihilated. I mean, people are short of laying in the
aisles. He didn't say one funny thing.
He did not say one funny thing for his entire show. And people people were just thought he was the funniest guy in the history of the world. One of these days,
it's not worth saying. He was just on the other show.
And I just, Justin and I could not figure it out. And it's like,
some of them are tricks. Yeah.
This guy's a trick.
I think that's the audience fault on the other side of the
coin. Right. Well, that's what Jimmy said.
That's what they said. If they think that's funny, then they're fucking idiots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like down to the intelligence level of the audience, you know?
But I'm going to defend, you're implying they're a dumb crowd, which there are dumb crowds. Well, that's how they laugh.
That's their sense of humor.
They're not going to laugh at Tommy as much.
No.
You know?
Problem is, in my opinion, some of those people would, but they, you know, like they don't get a chance to enjoy it in a group of people that would. Like there are people that could be Larry the Cable Guy fans and Louis C.K. fans, but they don't. I mean, that's probably two bad examples because those are two giant guys. But for the most part, if you have a sense of humor that goes at a broad spectrum, but you live in a place, you don't get to overlap with other cultures of, you know, like.
Right. They have two different. They're
Southern
two huge,
comics
right.
and whatever, you know.
Right. And it and obviously, Louis is pretty blue.
Yeah.
You know, and Larry the Cable Guy is the opposite. He's a pretty upbeat.
He's very clean, and I think his thing is like it's like the joke is very, it's right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not dumb. It's just right there, and there's no. I found Southern crowds. I don't find them as some people will say stupid. I think they're more, like they don't love sarcasm. They're more. I don't know if literal is the right word, but it's the sense of like, if you say something sarcastically mean. They just kind of feel like you're a mean person, I think. They're like, oh, that's rude.
And why would he say that?
Yeah. But it is the hottest accent on a woman, the Southern accent.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the old joke? A Southern girl says, go to hell, and you kind of want to go or something like that.
I don't know. I like it.
Go to hell, you know. Haven't you always heard that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. Go to hell.
So did you always, this sounds like such a hack question, but I want to know. I mean, because you started so young, did you know? Is that what you, like you were like Kramer on Seinfeld in front of the mirror with the spatula? What's the deal with, I mean, is that like you're 6 or 7 years old? Or?
Yeah, I was 8. Well, that's when I remember saying it. And I just said from 8 years old on that I'm going to be a comedian.
So did you see, I mean, how did you know that existed?
Letterman, and my, I watched it with my parents would let me stay up and watch to the top 10. Because I would try to sneak and stay up and watch the whole show. And they like, we had a compromise because I was 8. Now you got to go to bed. And then I was, you know, I just loved the way he made people laugh or still does. And my stepdad said he started out, he was a stand-up comedian and he came from Indiana. And I was like, well, I'm from Illinois. That's already halfway there. I'll just do that other thing. So from early on, I was like, oh, I'm going to be a stand-up comedian and I'll have my own TV show at some. So that was like the goal. Which it still is, to be a stand-up comedian.
No, but you're writing, you've got a TV show out there?
Sold a script. It didn't go with NBC, but we may sell it somewhere else. And if not, it's like back to the drawing board. And if it doesn't happen now, it's like, the thing is when it comes really close, like it just did, this is an interesting, like with, I feel like with the breakup, sorry if I brought that up earlier.
That's okay.
But like the breakups and things like that, like, if you choose, at least you can talk about it with friends and whomever because of breakups. But I had this show that I sold, and it literally came like it made it to the very end of the very like the 11th hour of
it
getting
was
picked
so
up.
Close to
and we
the,
were so close to getting picked up.
Right.
And had it gotten picked up, the contract was done. Like I knew how much time I would be able to spend with my baby.
Mm-hmm.
I knew how much money I was going to make, which was a lot. And I knew that a TV show helps people come see your stand up. And then once that all goes away, when they're like, no, we're not going to do it. it's this crazy thing where I'm like, this isn't relatable. I can't talk about this on stage.
Right.
But it is very similar to that depression type thing you get after a breakup, where it's like very sad. And then like the idea of, I know I'm going to do it. And then you get that close to doing it and then they take it away. You're like, well, am I? I mean, it does, it kind of rattles everything. And that's kind of, I feel like that's where I am right now in this weird, like it's, you know, 8-year-old kid wanted to do comedy and then have the TV show that was really close. And now it's in that recovery phase.
So would you want to do a show like that because it would reward you creatively as much as stand-up, or is it just monetary?
Not just monetary. I always like to say with the money thing, I love money.
Mm-hmm.
I love money. I want a lot of it. I tweeted the other day, I want to leave my daughter so much money that people treat her like a suspect for 6 months. That's how much money I want to leave behind. And a lot of money.
Follow the money.
But it just so happens I have goals that are money doesn't factor into at all. But it so happens that money is a result of these goals.
Mm-hmm.
So the goals are supersede the money. It just, you can't have a TV show. You can have a TV show and get money and then go broke. You can definitely do that.
Right.
But you can't have a TV show and not make money.
Right.
Those two things. And you can't sell out shows for stand-up without being paid well. And that's the whole goal. The goal was to have my own show that I can write and create and then put my thing out there and then have people see it and then come see me do stand-up.
Right.
So that way I can sell out shows and then move into theaters and whatnot.
So you'd never stop doing stand-up, though?
No, I don't think I would. The only thing would be fear that would stop. It'd be the kind of like, man, this is... like, once expectations get high, some of these guys... I don't think people talk about that enough of, like, the idea that Louis C.K. and Bill Burr and Brian Regan keep doing stand-up
mm-hmm.
after people say that... Like, Brian Regan, comedians and audience members say he's the best comedian, and he has to go out there, and they've paid... They didn't pay just to see somebody. They paid to see the best.
Yeah.
And he still goes... To me, at some point, I think if I got to that point, which is where I want to... I want to get to a point where people think I'm a great stand-up. But if I get there and all of a sudden I do like kind of a year of theaters, I may just be like, and that's it, folks. Lower your expectations. I'll be back in 15 years.
Well, plus you add to that, and I thought you were going to say this, they do like a brand new
hour. They keep turning over the material. Yeah, that's the main thing. You
that's what I can't get over. That's like, I've seen Louis, you know, we saw him once or twice, and I've seen his HBO specials, and they're all incredible, but they're all different.
Yeah, I don't think you have to do a new one every year, but I think a new one, you know, every 2 years or so, which is good. I think it's great for stand-up and audiences. But I think a new one every year can somewhat be rushing it a bit.
And so do you think that they write, but they write for them every year, maybe not necessarily for the audience, but that's the rate their brain produces material.
I personally think when I've seen, Louis would be an example of a guy that I think is amazing and I think is one of the best to do it. I would prefer, and which that's the good part is he's doing it for himself, not me. I think it would be a stronger hour if he did it 6 months later and recorded it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the idea to kind of work it, and you know, I don't think everybody has to have a set up punchline style,
mm-hmm.
but everybody tightens and works on things. You know, there's, you know, Seinfeld says that when he writes a joke, he doesn't think it's even close to being done for like 6 months or a year, like to being fine tuned, and then you can do that within your style. And I think that's true. I think what it is that we do, it's something that which I think Louis is amazing and. He also has the ability to go off of the road. This is the other big thing, where he just kind of goes off the road for 6 months and just, I'm assuming, counts money and writes jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, guys like me and most of the other people, like, we have to go out and do a show. Like, I still have to give them the best show every night.
Mm-hmm.
And try to come and up try with to.
So my rate is probably around 2 years, a year and a half is a new, completely new set. And I'm not saying I'm the gold standard, but I'm completely happy with that because
mm-hmm.
I think that's a good pace when you're actually on the road 52 weeks a year or whatever.
Do you have like a process every day, like from 10
to 10? I try to write. I try to write every day.
You don't have an assigned time?
I don't assign a time. I will, when I'm home, I'll wake up, go to the gym, then write for a few hours, then whatever, you know. So
you smoke kind of, a cigar.
Smoke a cigar, catch a cold.
Hold the baby.
Hold that baby. Hold that baby. You want your daughter to be a stand-up?
No, that would be, I would be a terrible parent if she became a stand-up.
Why?
I don't know. I can't.
Is that why you're a good stand-up? You had a bad childhood?
No, I don't think so. But I definitely think something went amiss, right?
Yeah.
Why would a kid at 8 years old want to be a stand-up comedian? I didn't even know what a stand-up comedian was. I just know Letterman did it. What an idiot. But,
you know, but you hear this, like, you hear this all the time. It's like whoever's funny, it's like, well, they were made fun of, or their father was physically,
I definitely
or
just wanted attention.
Or,
yeah.
Because, I don't know. I don't think I was abused or whatever. I wanted attention.
Why did you want attention? Because someone was ignoring
you. Probably
because
my dad left.
Yeah, oh, jeez.
Right?
There was another breakup, right?
Doesn't it seem like my dad left? I wanted attention. I've never figured it out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought my dad was funny. My dad is funny. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's what happened.
Is he?
He's a funny guy.
Does he have the speech pattern?
No, I don't think so. He's very Southern.
Really?
He doesn't get my humor at all.
Oh, really?
One time, years and years ago, it's the only time it's ever happened, years and years ago, he's like, tell me a joke. And I tell him from your act, and I told him a joke from my act, and I go through the whole bit. I pulled out my bit, my big closer, my big strong bit at the time, and I tell him the whole, like, I go through the whole thing, like I'm on stage, and he just goes, okay. That's what his response was.
Oh.
Okay. Like, he tried to laugh, but then he was like, okay. He just didn't get it at all.
Oh.
It was brutal.
So he's never come to see you?
He came to see me once. I've only been in his area like once because he lives in East Tennessee. Not a hotbed of comedy.
They don't have a bone in East Tennessee.
It's a beautiful part of the country.
Yeah, it is.
I went to the club that I was at that I was playing that week. I go to take a shower and the water doesn't work.
Whew, man, I'm glad you said shower.
And I go to take a shower and the water doesn't work. And I called the front desk and I was like, hey, I turned on the shower and the water's not working. And she was like, yeah. And then just paused. I was like, I think this is when you say something about it. Like, you don't just take a... I wasn't just calling to alert you.
I'm sorry, Mr. Jonigan. We'll send someone right up.
Yeah. So she was like, yeah, the water's out right now. And I'm like, yeah. We are on the same page.
Now you're getting me.
And so she was like, I don't know when it'll be back on. And I just, I turned the thing on and just left it on, and the water started coming out and it was yellow and brown.
Oh God.
And it was the worst hotel ever. That's why I've never been back to that club.
What about your mom? Is she funny?
Mom's not funny.
Mom's not funny at all.
No.
Very mom.
My mom's very mom.
Yeah.
My mom's very mom. I wish she knew how funny she was. If she was doing some of the things she did on purpose.
Right. She's unintentionally funny.
Yeah. Like one time she said, somebody at the dinner table used the word like ascertain. And my sister goes, well, that word's a little too big for mom. And my mom, she was like, I know big words. Hippopotamus. But not even to be funny.
That's really funny though. But she had no.
If she knew she
right.
She could, if she could build an act.
That is a big word.
I like the process of her brain where she's like, I know big words, and then it was just like pause. Hippopotamus.
So she's got good timing too.
Going through. Yeah.
I picture her kind of like looking for a big word, and then like, well, that's got several consonants in it. Hippopotamus.
What about your sister?
My little sister was
little.
Like,
okay, younger.
I have a little and an older sister.
Oh, okay,
and I don't think they both try to be funny very much. My little sister, when I was a kid, I would be funny and it would get a lot of attention. Then she would try to be funny. But she ended up being like just super mean.
Oh yeah, that was her. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like I was 13. She would just like latch on to the fact that I had acne on my back. I went through like puberty and I got acne on my back, and she would make fun of that. And how my like ears stick.
Like I need that.
She just beat it to death. Yeah.
It was brutal because it's at the time where it's like, this is, you're hurting my feelings, but I can't say that to a little sister.
No.
So she would.
So you had to be mean back.
I would try to be mean back, yeah.
But you're not a mean guy.
No. I wish I could sometimes. The other day, I almost told the story earlier, but it was the meanest, this 15-year-old girls. I had no idea how awful they were.
They're the meanest, most horrible people on the planet.
Until I was with my daughter at Chipotle, and this table of 15-year-old girls next to us.
What he said was, I'm at my...
I know, he's always at Chipotle.
He loves Chipotle.
was there another Chipotle story earlier? Oh, my sponsor. Yeah. I carry my sponsor with me.
Yeah, that's
And this girl, I can curse, right? I can say
what she
said.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there. It's these three 15-year-old white girls from Catholic school.
Privileged girls, yeah.
And this girl's like, I don't know why he's not buying me that car. And then she's like, he said I only can get a car for $20,000. And then the one girl goes, why? And she was like, because he's a cheap fuck. And I like looked up, and then she went on about this. And then at one point, one of the girls was like, I think that guy's listening to us. And I want to be like, the fact that you think I'm listening means you're stupid because I have looked at you for 15 minutes right now.
Yeah.
And she's like, because he's a cheap fuck. And they keep going on and just shitting on this girl's dad. And then she's like, we found a Lexus blah, blah, blah for how much ever. And she was like, and the fact that he didn't buy it is because he's stupid. I mean, my mom would drive it and it's a good investment. I wanted to be like, listen here, bitch. Cars are not investments, shithead. What I wanted to do.
You're a liability at best. Mm-hmm.
At 15 years, she's a bitch. Like by definition,
yes.
I wanted to take the back of her chair and then just lift it to where she fell out. And I'm like, I'm only touching the chair. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this will stand up in court, but I haven't touched you. And I wanted to call her a bitch. She was so mean to that dad. I don't even know the dude.
And you know why this made a big impression on you? Because
you got this little baby.
You got that little baby girl right
there. Did you have a talk with your daughter right there?
Yeah, I said, you're never getting a car. you know what I've always had? I have like a genuine fear of teenage boys. I always thought teenage, but I have a fear of them. Uh-huh. I think girls are, she was mean.
Mean.
Teenage boys are lawless.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I averted my eyes. I was at a stoplight the other day, and these teenage boys walked by, and I looked down at the radio. Because here's what happened. Teenage boys, they're at an age where they have strength and in aggression from puberty. And we made the mistake. I think it's a new generation thing, but we made the mistake of saying that we can't hit them. Like, I don't think that you should hit them. I just don't think that they should know that you
shouldn't, right.
Okay, I got you.
Because the fact, I feel like when I think of old times when anybody could just hit your kid, they were a lot less lawless. Like, I feel like a kid now would just come up to your car and knock your mirror off.
Absolutely.
And then stare at you, like, what are you going to do? And you're like, honestly, nothing. There's nothing I can do. I can call the cops, but you'll run.
There's entitlement. There's indestructibility.
They really think that they're untouchable.
Yeah. They do. They're terrible.
They've always gotten trophies for whatever they've participated
in. That didn't happen when I was young. I mean, the people, you got trophies. I think ours is the last generation got trophies for winning.
Oh, dude. My daughter, if she gets anything below, like, I'll let you save a second place ribbon, but it's going to be put away. If anything below second place is garbage, we're not putting that out. If it's a competition and you got third, trash it.
You're not going to know, though. In the competition,
bullshit. I'm keeping score. We have this baby.
Well, that's
baby.
The thing.
I've got her doing crunches. I pull her up by her little hands, do crunches with her.
She can do 1,000.
I make sure she's Herschel Walker over here. I'm competitive already. Mm-hmm. Like in things you can't even keep. When you apply something that there is a built-in scoring system, even if people aren't scoring it, I'm going to be in the stands.
Yelling. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's how. Yeah. There's a lot of parents where we are, and they'll, you know, you had this RBI, you did this, you did this, you did this.
Wait, they don't do that? They don't keep track of that?
No. Some of the parents do, but not officially.
No, the parents do, but they don't officially do that. Like, the teams don't do that. I think, I want to say, like, they started keeping track when they were, like, 7. Seven or eight, they started keeping track.
So 4, 5, 6, 7.
Yeah.
I mean, if you participate,
because T-ball starts at 4.
So 4, 5, 6, 7, there's no scores.
There's no scores. There's no, there's like no tag outs, you know, stuff like that. And just weird things. Like you can't
steal.
There
goes American baseball.
You can't steal basketballs.
What?
You can't steal the ball
Not until you're 8, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And the coaches pitch slow hand.
Coaches pitch until they're 7 or 8, too. I mean, it's not, you know. But then you have those dads that are just, that, I mean.
I'm totally that dad. Yeah. I'm going to keep track. I mean, God forbid this kid plays basketball. I don't want to sit through that. But any other sport. Any other sport.
Yeah.
So Tommy, what were you like as a teenager through your high school years? Did you have a group of buddies that kind of shaped your sense of humor too, or were you weren't like the guy that
I was
kids
always
you
I
hate
was like
now.
A sniper. Like any it got quiet in class, I'd toss out a nice joke, quiet again. Uh-huh. I was fine enough that, and I just made everyone laugh. Teachers paid attention.
What was the disciplinary attitude in your home? Or did, because you were grew up with your mom, but you visited your dad, so was it different?
Yeah, well, my stepdad, when I was young, my mom and stepdad got together when I was very young, so it was that. And, it was pretty, it was strict-ish. I mean, it wasn't like
I don't see you doing anything
I never got in any trouble.
Yeah.
I never got in any real trouble. I got in, like, fake trouble. I had to serve community service.
That sounds official. That sounds
because
like
we
trouble.
Were
no
no. I think community service is like, I know that if I would have got community service growing up, might have been my dad would have probably been like, you're an idiot.
Well,
you know
what
I
it
almost
was too. We just smashed a bunch of pumpkins on a basketball coach's lawn.
You know what? A couple of years ago, when I was out of town over Halloween, a bunch of high school kids carved. I just had pumpkins that hadn't been carved sitting on my front porch, and they carved cock and balls in all of my pumpkins.
Oh. Like drawings or the words?
No, the drawings. And so I just wanted to be like, you guys, this wasn't wasted. I thought this was really funny. Like if I could have found them. That was great. Yeah, that was good.
That takes a lot of time.
Yeah, I know. I was like, how long were they in front of the house, and where the fuck were my neighbors?
Yeah.
I just picture them wearing aprons. We drove around our small town, and it was right after Halloween, and we stole, what are they going to do, plant them and grow a pumpkin patch? We just took pumpkins off of, so we had probably in the neighborhood of like 70 pumpkins.
Oh, my.
And just went and just two-handed and just smashing them in his yard, and then I had one above my head, and I just go like, or whatever that noise would be.
Right.
And then he opens the door and he's looking me in my eye. And I was just like, run! And everyone's like, everyone scatters. And I have and then we got busted by the cops.
Okay, my turn. When I was freshman in high school, maybe eighth grade, freshman, a couple of buddies, they had an Easter egg hunt at a nearby. Like it was a pretty big park, but it was a street over from my house, so you could cut through the yards and go right to the park. And they put these, you know, these little...
Chick is infamous for giving you entirely too many details in his story.
These multicolored eggs that you with marshmallow in the middle, and they would wrap them up with aluminum foil, and inside they would put little certificates, like $50 off at a merchant in downtown London or whatever. So we had our own marshmallow eggs and our own aluminum foil and our own winners, like you've won 2 cock rubbers or whatever that we put in there. Or
that's
you know.
Another like it's a craft project.
So we threw out about 30 of these out into the grass of the and Sunday morning Easter egg hunt annual event London Ohio. And these you know thinking back
little
on these kids are like 3, 4, 5 years old. So they're not finding them, thankfully. They're handing the eggs to their mothers, their dads, and they're unwrapping them. And they're fuck you, asshole, or whatever it would be inside them. So that Monday in the Madison Press,
there we go.
Front page, bottom right-hand corner, I can shut my eyes and see it, obscenities mar Easter egg hunt.
Oh, did you save it?
And I don't, but I bet I could go back and get a copy of it.
Ooh,
but it was me and another guy and 2 older guys. And the 2 older guys, they actually went to the police or whatever and confessed. And they got like, you know, like a month's probation or whatever little baby thing it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that, well, they felt bad about it, I guess, in the end. But
then that's your job to carry that.
That's right. But one of the guys also used to measure his penis, and I don't know what the hell that was about. But.
Everybody measures their penis.
Well, no, but he like made a point of telling you, you should measure yours.
And in front of everybody.
And would you like to measure mine and stuff like that.
Wait, he would ask you to measure his? That's right. That's How would he do that?
I don't know. I think his dad was a judge now that I'm remembering that.
Was he making like a chart or something to show everybody? I
Maybe
mean,
he
that's
did keep
weird.
like a
growth chart.
A progress of what was going on with
he,
it.
He yeah. drew him on the inside of his closet door. And
oh, my God. Yeah, like, you know, your height chart?
Like your height chart when you're
he also
Did he ask you to measure how close he could get it to your mouth?
But he also would weigh it, and I would never.
He would weigh it.
I never understood how you could
make sandwiches out of it.
I don't know how you could. How could you weigh it? Because your body weight would influence if you put it on a scale, right?
If you lean,
you don't sound like you tried.
But you could turn a scale upside down and see what kind of upward force you get.
No, was this in grams? I mean, how do you?
I don't know. You'd have to have like a postal scale or something, wouldn't you?
Yeah, like the baby scales.
Like a
you
little,
know?
Yeah.
Like I was picturing it on an old fashioned. You put some
oh,
stuff
little weights
on
one side.
What's
and
that called? The actual? It's a
scale.
Scale.
The balance scale. Balance scales scale? Of balance or lows. Yeah.
Yeah, I have way too much going through my head because you think it would be its heaviest if it was. Upright.
Full of blood.
And you can't, right.
Full
you, can't
of blood,
really, you can't really put that on the
no,
Yeah, Jason,
you
show us how you do that.
You kind of lean and all funky.
I think
yeah, there's a
you
lot going
definitely
on.
Definitely measure your balls.
Weigh them?
Yeah, you could yeah, you
weigh
could
their balls.
Measure and weigh your balls.
You couldn't.
No, I could. I've got little raisin balls. Did you know that? They're right.
I didn't know that.
They're right. You know how old guys get older and they tend to sag?
Yeah.
Not me.
Just tiny little balls.
No, they're pretty good size, but they stay right close up to my body.
They're
all
taut,
the time.
Yeah.
When I was single.
What'd I say?
When I was what a happened? Single man, I ended up at my hotel room with a black young lady, and we're at the hands phase. Her hands are.
Now, is that like when you put your hands out like this and she puts them over top? You try to.
That's completely different.
Smack her hands? Okay.
Her hands on my penis.
Okay.
And. She's like, have you ever been with a black chick before? And I was like, I have not. And then I go, she said, well, what's the difference so far? And I was like, I don't really think there is a difference so far. And then I go, have you ever been with a black chick or a white guy before? And she was like, yes, 3. And while she has her hand on my penis, I said, what's the difference? And she goes, size. Just without hesitating.
Didn't even think
size. I was like, oh. Size. And that's basically where it stopped. That's how that story really kind of ended there.
So then did she leave or?
She rolled out.
Rolled out?
Wow.
Well, I mean, like later on, like there's like other things that factored into the fact that we didn't go the full way.
Right.
It was an impromptu encounter, so there was no
right.
Wait a minute, what was that noise for that?
No chloroceptics.
No protection.
Yeah. Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
So responsible people.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's good. That's
that
good.
Was back there. Irresponsible, but still responsible, mm-hmm. right?
That was she someone you met after a show?
No. I got to, I was really big into, I was a huge fan of meeting young ladies after shows. Huge fan. I was also a huge fan of exercising the ability of confidence and whatever to pick up girls outside of comedy in the real world.
Right.
I enjoyed it very much. I love women. And my goal was just to kind of be around, whether it be sexually or just socially, as many as possible to kind of see what I like and what I don't like. That way I'll end up, in my mm-hmm. opinion, with the one that I want to be with and I'm happier. And I feel like it's worked. But I would regularly just kind of, whether it be at a bar, my favorite was not even at a bar. Like my favorites would be like random places like a grocery store or something.
Mm-hmm.
I picked up a girl at the deli one time. She's working at the deli.
Wow.
Shockingly attractive. This girl was working the deli. And I just stopped. And I stood in line, and then I get up there, and she was like, what can I get you? And I was like, I'll have a half a pound of turkey. And she goes, which kind? And I was like, the peppered. She goes, do you want it thin sliced or thick sliced? And I go, I got to be honest with you. I don't really want any turkey. I stood in this line just so I could talk to you, but I guess you can slice it thin. And she smiled real big, and I was like, hooked her.
Hooked it.
And then she smiles and gives me the turkey, and I go, I normally don't get thin sliced turkey. What if I get it home and there's a problem? Is there like a deli number I can call? And she was like, you can just call the store and ask for the deli. And I go, what if I have an after hours deli emergency? And then she gave me her phone number.
Nice.
That's great.
And I was like, you know what? Those make me feel better, because I was like, in my opinion, I can still, I that way I was like, you know what? I'm not pigeonholed into only being with a waitress or an audience member.
And it does, it's kind of like it doesn't exercise those other relationship muscles. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's like anything else. If you get so, I mean, there's so many comedians that only date or sleep with or hang out with girls they meet after a show.
Sure.
Yeah. And, you know, well, whatever. Sorry.
I remember after your breakup.
Yeah.
Which was October 17th. Is that right?
October 13th.
October 13th.
Uh-huh. I remember that.
Remember?
I remember
when he broke up.
When we were in Carolinas, we were one of the Carolinas, and you hadn't drank in, I don't know, like you didn't drink for a really long time.
I was like, it wasn't even, I didn't drink. It was like, that was when I started drinking.
Right. And do you remember, you were with us the first time you started drinking
with capital letters, and Jess has a picture of you.
I know the picture. I was in the lobby of that hotel.
Lobby of the hotel starting to drink. And but anyway,
he'd been drinking. Yeah.
But I talked to you, I don't know, 2 or 3 months after the breakup, and I said, how's it going? He goes, well, it's going okay. And I go, are you meeting?
The circumstances of your breakup and the months that followed were pretty intense for anybody. It's not like it was just a regular, we're not going to see each other anymore.
I was upset about it.
There was a lot going on.
So I go, how's it going? He goes, it's going okay. And I go, are you meeting anybody? Are you seeing anybody? And you go, I'll never forget. You go, I've met and I've seen everybody. I want to be done. And I go, okay. And it wasn't too much longer after that that we met Heather in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, yeah, that's the, you got to meet the people.
There's nothing worse than like getting to the end of, it's like that commercial. It always reminded, when you said that, it reminded me of the commercial.
Seen the end of the internet?
Yeah, they're doing the computer. Congratulations, you've seen everything on the internet. This is the end of the internet. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
It is an interesting thing of how many people there are.
And they're so similar.
Yeah, you bump into the same one every once in a while.
There's like five or six different, and then it's, well, you're going to say this. Okay.
Because if you spend enough time being what I called actively single, you end up being, you almost end up being a little too good for, because then it becomes almost like stand-up. You get in a routine of, you get into the conversation, then you're like, oh yeah, you're this one.
Mm-hmm.
I know exactly how to weave through this.
Right.
Yep.
And this is a compliment, but I'm sure that in situations with you, A, you're a super nice guy, you're good looking, you're very funny, you're all those things that girls, you know, are attracted to. So they would get with you and they would be like, oh my gosh, she's the one. I would assume that happened more than it didn't.
That only happened a few times.
Really?
I think it was because of the casual nature in which things were going. And also my honesty. I would be very honest of, if I was meeting someone in my hometown.
Mm-hmm.
But there were a couple outside of where I lived that I would continue it. But I was very honest. I was like, you know, I don't live here. No matter whether we sleep together or what, I enjoy being around you, so I'm going to call you and we'll text. And I go, and then we'll just do that until one of us decides that they don't enjoy it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that may come sooner than later once we weigh the options of the distance between us and everything.
Oh.
And there were only a couple that I there was one that was kind of like, she felt like in love where she said it. And I didn't mean, I was, you know, it was kind of like, I didn't think that, I didn't think we were doing that. I didn't think we were going down that road.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And now you've got a daughter.
Now we've got that baby.
Got that baby.
Oh.
That's what I say about that the old single days. What I say about my own thing. I think with the daughter and the girlfriend, I'm the happiest I've ever been, and the closest I've ever been to being that happy was when I didn't have either one of those things. That was also pretty great.
And you wanna probably get married, right?
Yeah, we wanna get married.
Because you don't want your daughter saying...
I don't want my daughter to have to be like, this is my mom's boyfriend, my dad. I don't love the idea of marrying a chick with a baby, though.
Oh, that really freaks you out. Yeah, I don't blame you there. Okay. Tommy Jonigan, everybody. He's, I think he's one of the funniest, brightest, most prolific comedians that I've seen ever. And Jess,
Thank you very much.
I would agree.
I think Jess would absolutely agree.
One of the best comedy shows I ever saw was...
We were in St. Louis.
No, yeah, St. Louis. But before that, like the first time I ever saw you live...
Oh, at the Jukebox.
At the
Peoria.
Jukebox. Oh, my gosh. Yep. And that wasn't even
a full house.
They had the chairs up, right?
We trooped over and you go, this is a testament to my popularity. They had chairs up on the
stacked.
Table.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for having me on, guys.
You're welcome.
I did listen. I've only, with this baby, I blame the baby for a lot of things, and most of it's true. It didn't have a lot of time to be podcasting, but I did listen to some of it, so I just kind of thought we'd get on here and shoot the bull. So I hope I did okay.
You did great.
Like to let the podcast down.
Tommy.
You did great.
You did great.
Please don't say bad things about me.
TommyJonigan.com.
TommyJComedy.com.
TommyJComedy.com.
On the Twitter.
At TommyJonigan.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Go see him when he comes near you. Okay?
Chipotle.
Thank you. Thank you, Jess.
Thanks.
Thank you, Jason.
You bet.
Good night, everybody!